Okay, this is the beginning of tape two, and I've been speaking with Dr. B. Terrell Davis, who was working here as a psychiatrist from 1945 to 1949. You were just mentioning that there was a redefinition of...
There were regulations for the medical examination of aliens that the Public Health Service had developed and were used for immigration purposes to prevent individuals coming into the country who had serious mental illnesses and were going to require extensive care or provide danger to the communities. And so when I came, the regulation said one or more attacks of insanity was the basis for excluding somebody. And every now and then, one of the patients that we had to examine was somebody who had gotten a passport to go on a ship and to come to this country, but then the word came out that they had been hospitalized for a psychiatric problem, and that was called an attack of insanity. And so it really wasn't doing anybody any good. It wasn't preventing this people from coming into the United States that were going to be a burden by that wording. And and the fact that you had had one attack of mental illness, which to make it legal, it had to be called insanity. And then once you had the label of one attack of insanity under immigration purposes, you were excluded. And we didn't think that that was doing anybody any good. And so I was asked to rewrite the regulations for the medical examination of aliens and change the things which I felt were not helping anybody but causing a lot of grief and trouble. And so we did take out that one or more attacks of insanity. And when we got the regulations all done, then somebody in the office in Washington decided that it was a good idea if I went to Europe and visited with the doctors in the various consulates, because this is where the regulations were being applied. It wasn't like it was in the early 1900s when you got on ship and then you got your examination when you got to Ellis Island. Back in 1919 or thereabouts, they had changed that, and there were facilities in most of the state, in most of the government consulates to examine aliens and to say whether or not they could have passports and admission. And so they decided to be worthwhile for me to go over and consult with the various offices and make sure that they understood these regulations and that they were workable. So I did do that, and I think I did that 48 or 49.
Did you go to several countries?
I flew into Paris, and went to Belgium, Holland, and flew the airlift into Berlin. That was when they had the Russians had the blockade, and we had to fly an airlift into Berlin. And then came back and went down through Germany into Italy, and then flew from Italy up to London, and then came home from London.
Now, was insanity was a word that was more or less replaced by mental illness? I mean, was insanity still used, but to mean a more extreme condition than mental illness? How was that at that time?
Well, insanity was competence. In other words, if you were insane, you were not competent. Mm-hmm. You were not, and it was more a legal term than a medical term. In other words, it defined your status as a person rather than described a medical condition. And so that's why
just a second. We're pausing here. Someone's at the door. Okay, we're resuming now. You were saying that was a legal term and not a medical one.
Right. And and so you needed a medical definition of what conditions there were that were a basis for limiting frequency of travel and so forth. And can't think of the specific instances. Some of it is still there. I mean, homosexuals could have been cited. In fact, there was one musician, I can't think of his name at the moment, who was detained on Ellis Island, and we examined him, and he had a manager in Europe, and he wanted to come to this country, and so he signed up with another manager, and after he got over to this country, or after he was en route, the guy that he had dropped to pick up this one went to somebody and said he was a homosexual or something.
Was that a basis at that time for being sent back?
It was a question. Huh. And so he came over to us and to see whether or not he was suitable, and we didn't find anything unsuitable about him. And we had to examine him to see whether or not he could even come into the country. And there were some things like that in the old regulations, when we were first trying to make sure that we just got the pure people over here, and we didn't bring in disease and handicaps and one thing and another.
Was there anything about your visits in the countries that people were emigrating from that had to do with how you were handling the immigrants on this side of the ocean compared with how they were
doing
on the other?
No, it was I guess it was good to have somebody go over and explain to the doctors over there that were examining why we were making these changes. And I certainly enjoyed the trip. It was a wonderful experience of learning what was going on and so forth.
So what was it changed to? After it used to be one attack, one or more attacks of insanity, and then what was the new regulation that replaced that one?
Mental incompetence. If he's mentally incompetent, then we don't need to have to bring him in and to try to take care of an incompetent.
I see. Mm-hmm.
I guess you would say that if he had Alzheimer's disease and he was that old, we wouldn't want him to come in and we have to provide an extra bed in an Alzheimer's facility for him.
Okay, well, that's a good piece of information to have on record.
I think that was one of the things that we got into.
So just to close, I mean, then how long did you stay as working actively as a psychiatrist?
Well, when I went to Ellis Island, I decided, well, I'm got to be a psychiatrist, so let's get the qualifications. So I got my board certification and joined the American Psychiatric Association and the New Jersey Psychiatric Association when I came to New Jersey. And for 14 years, no, from 1955 to 1969, well, that's almost 56, about 13 years. Mm-hmm. I was director of the state mental health program in New Jersey, and which was a very interesting and active time because it was during that period that President Kennedy set up the Community Mental Health Center program. And when I went to New Jersey, it was an interesting time because we had just begun to get the new psychiatric treatment medications, and we began to see that a lot of the disturbed behavior of the mentally ill was the way they were being treated rather than their illness. And most of the institutions, state institutions, had been understaffed during the war, and so there was a problem there, and there was a great increase in residency training, a great increase in the availability of trained psychiatrists. And so when I went to New Jersey in charge of their institutions, I was able to set up training programs in each of the institutions, which would qualify us to train more people. And to set up standards for care so that the patients all got active treatment. And we didn't have any asylum types anymore. And we had made all of our state institutions approved for residency training and approved as by the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Hospitals as good hospitals.
Wow.
And then we come up with this federal legislation, which the first thing it did was to suggest to the bureaucrats that we're going to do away with the state hospitals. And in 1948, or 49, or 58, When did what's his name give it?
The community. The president. Mental health?
The president of the American Psychiatric Association said 1958. The hospital, the mental hospital as we know it in 3 years will no longer exist. This was in 1958. President Kennedy set up the mental health center program in 1961. And so this was a couple of years later, but that saying in San Francisco at the annual meeting by the president that the community mental health, the mental health hospital as we know it in 2 years will no longer exist. People took it to mean that we're going to do away with state hospitals and these community mental health centers are going to do it all. And so we went to Washington, we got money to plan mental health centers, we got money to build mental health centers, we got money to initial staffing. And in the meantime, people were pulling the rug out from under the state hospitals. And that was an unfortunate turn of events because most of the state hospitals throughout the country were meeting their needs and providing a resource. There are some patients, it's the patients that you got on the streets now, lying in the parks and so forth, that did have good homes in some of those state institutions at an affordable price. And so that was an unfortunate turn in the cycle of life events that instead of having hospitals and facilities to care for the disabled, we thought we were going to get community mental health centers and we dumped everybody out on the street.
What do you feel proudest of that you have done? I mean, what you just mentioned, I would think, is quite an accomplishment of getting all the New Jersey hospitals approved for.
Well, of course, the next chapter was after they fired me in New Jersey in 69, I went back to the Public Health Service and as a consultant to the Region 3, the New York office of the Public Health Service, and a consultant in the program to develop these community mental health centers. And that was an interesting experience, but I think the work that we were doing that was being done then was the least gratifying. I mean, it was spinning your wheels and certain. But that was where Evelyn applied for a job as head of the plan for planning of community mental health centers for the state of New Jersey. And so from 1963 until 1966, she was working with us and bringing her leadership from the clinical end of it, from the community, into the work in developing program in the state. And then when the 3 years of planning was unfolded, she took over one of the children's units that we had set up in one of the state hospitals and ran that for a bit, as in addition to her was practicing in Morristown, but then an opening came in a children's residential facility in the state of New Jersey, which was south of Morristown. And by that time, her children were old enough and in college or in the military or something or another. And so she and her husband came down to this children's residential unit, which she ran for, how long did you run there?
10 years.
Yeah, for about 10 years, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then it was after that period that things in our lives changed, that we both decided to get married. And so we've been working together since 1976.
Uh-huh. Do you still have a practice at this time?
Not anymore. She did a lot of work in surveying psychiatric hospitals for the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Hospitals. And I had been doing some of that, and we sort of both were doing it separately, and she would do one hospital and I'd do another one.
Well, how is this phase of life after retirement?
Well, when we got married, I was in Wilmington. I had left the public health, retired from the public health service in 1972, and was recruited by the professor of psychiatry at Jefferson to come down to Wilmington to head up the psychiatric services of the Wilmington Medical Center. It's the Medical Center of Delaware now. Three private hospitals combined to form one facility to serve the area and to affiliate with Jefferson Medical College for training for house staff and so forth. Since we have no medical school in Delaware, Jefferson Medical College in Philadelphia sort of serves as the university connection. And we have developed, you might say, the equivalent of a community mental health center. By the time we got it set up, the community mental health center funding and so forth was out the window. But we were able to set up a day treatment program and an emergency psychiatric service and inpatient psychiatric units in the General Hospital in Wilmington, and worked that in conjunction with the state program. So we were able to taper off some of the combined experience that we learned in the other places in the program in Delaware. And I was had that position until I got to be 70, actually 71, when I went to Delaware at the age of 61, you had to have 10 years to get into the retirement program, and you had to quit when you were 70. That was back in the days when, before they began to see that was discrimination against age. But I had taken the job with the understanding that I was going to take it for 9 years and served notice when I, a year before my birthday came around, but they didn't get around to recruiting anybody until a year after then. And so I stayed on, and I didn't get into the retirement program, but they said I could have an office in the hospital after I retired, in lieu of a retirement program. And I, in the meantime, had arranged for a, what do you call it, an annuity type of a retirement. Uh-huh. I had money deposited each year into a retirement account. And so in what, 83, I guess my successor was appointed, and I did consultation work and outpatient work, and gradually tapered off my inpatient treatment. And for the last year, I haven't taken any new patients. And she developed, my wife developed macular degeneration about a year ago. And so that's interfered with her. She was, up until that time, was doing hospital surveys for Pennsylvania, which was basically a teaching program. The survey was more a teaching experience for the staff, that she would point out to them what she was looking for and why, and that would help them to catch on to why they needed to do this or why they needed to do that, but also let them get federal funding for certain things.
Wow. Well, it's really been a pleasure to talk with you and to learn about your career and your wife's career. And it's nice to know more about Ellis Island. You were able to fill in some gaps that I didn't know about as far as the psychiatry that was practiced here. So I think we'll close here. I've been speaking with V. Terrell Davis, who is a psychiatrist here from 1945 to 1949. And this is Janet Levine. We're in the Oral History Studio on September 2nd, 1995. Mrs. Evelyn P. Ivy Davis is also here with us. And I'm signing off. Thank you.